And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight we have, this should be a very interesting evening, partly because I've never done an interview with two people on the phone at the same time, and partly because this is an interesting topic. We have directors and producers of the Path series. So we have April Hanna and Michael Habernick, and the Path is... Well, I'm going to let them explain, but there's a movie that's already been out called Afterlife and one that should be released probably sometime this summer called Beyond the Physical. And, well, it's just a really interesting story. I got the opportunity to actually meet them last summer when they were here releasing their movie, The Afterlife. And also because I was interviewing Tom Campbell, who is one of our favorites here. And actually just interviewed him last week. So welcome both April and Michael.
Thank you.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having us.
Not a problem. I'm excited about this. So as I said, because I was part of that process last year, I got to, you know, watch the film. I got to interview Tom Campbell, and I also got to listen to your really quite unique journey as to why this sort of came about. And I think it really starts with Michael, and then April sort of comes in. So, Michael, why don't you tell us a little bit about why this series sort of started?
Well, it goes back a couple years, and I'll kind of paint in broad strokes, but the details, of course, are on our website in our bio section. Mm-hmm. But basically, I went through a whole year, probably a year and a half, of just family members and friends and you know, people that I knew throughout life just starting to die all around me. And so this was happening probably once or twice a month, and I started to question, you know, life and what happens when you die, where are all these people going? And I did a lot of research into it, and I did find people like Thomas Campbell, William Buhlmann, and I stumbled upon the Monroe Institute, all online. Tom's got a ton of YouTube clips, radio interviews that he's done, same with William, and as well as Skip Atwater from the Monroe Institute. So I was listening to all these podcasts and radio interviews and documentaries, and also, speaking of documentaries, The Secret was one of them that came out at the time, and What the Bleep was the other one. And I just thought that I found myself, I was on a path, really, and each interview led into another interview with somebody else, or the subject matter slightly changed, but it was all basically the same path. And I thought, you know, why can't this all be in one place? So I was thinking of doing a couple small little videos to put up on YouTube, you know, just something that I could do on the side and learn about it, and also teach the mainstream media what I was learning. And I started looking for local experts in the area, and that's when I stumbled upon April's business. She does Reiki in Catskill, New York, and I met up with her, and she taught me about Reiki, and she actually introduced me to a whole bunch of experts that have trained with her and worked with her through the years, and a lot of them are actually in the film. I don't know if she wants to pick it up from here, but that's pretty much the path that I was on, and I just thought that it should be in a video form. I've done video for, over a decade of between school and work, and so that's pretty much all how I knew how to communicate. So that I wanted to put everything into one, not one video, but actually when we started, we didn't know if it was going to be one or two, or eventually after we met for a while and we kind of worked out the ideas and figured out who was going to be in it, and we started shooting the interviews. we kind of outlined that it was going to be a four-part series.
Nice.
And that's pretty much where we are now. We just released the last film last February, and we are on our way to working on the second film, which should be out this summer.
Right. Cool. So, April, isn't it great when somebody comes to you that's really kind of new into this, but but has this vision and then gets to explore all the things that we already know?
Yeah, I mean, it was wonderful, the timing of it. And by far, I would not consider myself an expert by any means, but I felt like I trained under some really good experts. And I had just launched and stepped out into the world, into my own private practice, which included some holistic healing complementary to some of the psychotherapy that I do. I'm a licensed mental health counselor here in New York State. So I think the timing of it was just really cool. And, you know, here's this other being that has contacted me, and we had so much in common, you know, right down to being born in the same year, the same month, 1 week apart.
Wow.
And I think when we met each other too, we just felt really comfortable with one another. It was as if like I was just reconnecting with an old friend. And, you know, at first it sounded like, great, you know, I would love to take part in an interview. You know, I thought it would be a good way to get my name out within the community. But then as we started doing this more and more, I realized that there was a much bigger picture here, and we really needed to expand this and really get experts in the field to make the film. You know, so it was no longer about Mike or I. It was about how are we going to compile all this research and evidence and testimonials and stories about the afterlife, healing, metaphysics, consciousness, and put it all together. And, you know, it took us, I would say, about a year, year and a half for the first DVD to come together, but it really flowed beautifully. And it just felt like when you're in the presence of that energy and you're doing what you're really supposed to be doing, it's kind of effortless.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really neat the way that we got to meet William Buhlman and Skip Atwater and Paul Rademacher at the Monroe Institute and Thomas Campbell. It all came together within 1 week of traveling, you know, day in and day out, meeting these people and interviewing them for hours and then getting in the car and heading to the next interview. But, you know, it worked out perfectly.
Hmm. Yeah, I've had the opportunity of interviewing both Thomas Campbell and Paul Rademacher, and, you know, they seem very genuine. I haven't had an opportunity to meet some of the others, but, you know, I think it's really fascinating. I mean, both Tom and Paul come from, you know, very different worlds. One is a nuclear physicist, and one really came from a very spiritual and very religious background. So, you know, coming at these topics from very different points of view, and yet everybody really saying the same message, everybody really saying, you know, the same things. And certainly your first movie, The Afterlife, it's not... for people that are on this journey, it's not something necessarily new, but it is certainly, you know, a great collection of some of the, you know, top people in the field that are talking about, you know, what happens.
Right. And I think for some people, you know, it's also exposing them to people like Tom Campbell and William Buhlman and the Monroe Institute and just people locally in New York State to know that there are some practitioners around. So I would agree with you. I think people who are on the journey and the path and have done a lot of study and research on the metaphysics, so it might be a little bit review for them. But if you watch it two or three times, I think even those people who are well-seasoned in this study can really get stuff out of it and then, you know, hopefully branch out and get more into, you know, the background of what Tom Campbell has to offer with his My Big Toe trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really neat how you've taken some. I mean, I think most of them have been involved with the Monroe Institute, but I think... You know, a lot of it is just really interesting information that you're right. I don't think a lot of people may have been aware of. Some of these people are, you know, incredibly gifted, yet, you know, not everybody's heard of the Monroe Institute and not everybody's heard of these different concepts in these different books that are out there. But, you know, it is really interesting. And I think using, you know, people, that was always my goal with Intuitive Soul Radio was to just to get out there, some of the people that are involved that are doing the work that, you know, we don't have an opportunity to hear about. Because, yes, we hear about all the authors, but we don't always have an opportunity even to hear about some of the authors, because a lot of people self-publish, or, you know, some of the publishing houses have changed. So that has always been my goal, is to try and get people a platform to talk about their gifts and what they do. So that certainly is evident in your movies. So talk a little bit, I guess, both of you, about, you know, what has come about with creating The Afterlife. How has that changed you? How has that allowed you to grow on your journey?
Especially when we met in Toronto and we had the screening, and we were able to meet some of the fans and answer a lot of questions that they had, and then we had private conversations shortly after the screening, and we could hear how the film has affected their lives, how you know, they knew somebody who had just passed, and this film has helped them grieve in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it also allowed people to start their own paths into exploring the afterlife and what that means to them. I know I'm leaving names out of it, but my mother has several friends who she's passed the video on to.
Nice.
And they had relatives that were the friend she gave it to had relatives that were either about to pass or had just passed on. And it was a big relief to them to know that they were going somewhere and that they weren't going to be far away in a physical sense. But it was actually a big relief for them to see it, to see the film, and to understand what was taking place for the person passing. And as for ourselves, we're constantly growing. We're learning new things within the field, and it's been great. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, one of the things that I've really gotten a kick out of have been the premieres. You know, when we premiered the film initially, thanks to My Big Toe Events in North Carolina and Toronto and here in New York, we weren't able to attend the London premiere. But, you know, it's like when we're here at home in New York and we're getting internet sales and you see the person's name and where they live and where they're from, and, you know, we're mailing out these DVDs all over the world, nationally, internationally.
Yes.
It's very exciting, but you don't actually see the person's face, so you don't know who the movie's going to. And the premieres really gave me an opportunity and brought it into perspective, like, wow, you know, people really are watching our film. They're being greatly impacted by it. And to have people come up to us and just thank us for doing this and letting us know how much it impacted them, that has been priceless to me. So I've really enjoyed that.
Yeah. And Michael, do you think it helped you with where, I mean, I'm assuming it did. Certainly this is why you did it, because you were wanting, seeking your own, I guess, consolences and finding, you know, a way to help everybody else get there too, which is very generous of you.
It was kind of weird, because going into it, I was very skeptical.
Good for you.
There was part of me that wanted to believe everything that I was learning, and of course, some of it was just marketing fluff that other supposed experts were claiming, and but they didn't have any science to support anything.
Right.
But the people that we found in the film were able to back up a lot of their information. And then about halfway through, between the research and when we started filming, it kind of something clicked, and it wasn't like I said, "Aha! I discovered something new." It was kind of like, I always knew it. I just kind of didn't want to believe it because part of society is telling me that I shouldn't be believing some of this stuff. And that was, at the time, that was, I don't know, that was very, for me, that was monumental, and it was a big milestone in part of the production of the film, and it's kind of like, well, this is what we discovered along our path, this is what we want in the film, the path, so we're going to put it out there, and I'm sure we're going to get critics on some of it, but mostly we've gotten support, and even though there were some critics, and it's funny because a lot of the critics that we have gotten from showing the trailer and clips, a lot of the biggest critics and the person, or I shouldn't say the person, but some of the people that have given us negative reviews haven't even seen it yet.
Of course. Yeah. Which happens in that industry, I believe.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, I think we all need that sort of something to hold on to, because I think, you know, the world, we've come to this third dimension where we believe that we are so separate from everything. And so knowing that, you know, there is something more, knowing that there are people out there that can, you know, prove it, that have, you know, scientific backing, that have, you know, PhDs and things that, you know, give a certain authenticity to what we're hoping to find, even though there's a part of us that seeks this knowledge because we, you know, we probably inherently know it. There's also an aspect of us that, you know, wants to believe it because it's, we don't like feeling this separateness. We don't like, you know, waking up feeling, you know, separate from everybody. And I think that's really what your series is trying to let people know.
Yeah, I would agree. And I'm hoping that, you know, those who are watching it and grasp what it is that we're trying to, you know, really portray in the movie, I think they get that. And they'll get that message from the film as well. You know, a lot of the experts really talked about everything coming back to love and that connectedness. So I think you bring up a very good point there.
Yeah. Was it really neat how the synchronicities came about, though, with the fact that you got, you know, some of these great experts and that people were, you know, very open in wanting to talk about it and bring it out? Like, was that exciting for you? Because, I mean, it's exciting for me when I get interviews that, you know, I really resonate with. So I'm kind of comparing it in the same way.
Yeah, I think every time, like, something happens, Mike and I would just be like, oh my gosh, can you believe it? There's no way. This is just happening so smoothly. I mean, Mike and I were still working at our full-time jobs.
Wow.
We, you know, had to take a week of vacation, you know, to be able to do this, and we were trying to figure out what would be a good time that would work with his family, that would work with mine, where we could, and with our jobs, where we can actually take the same week off, you know, grab a rental car, grab our families, put them in there, you know, travel to and from, and get all this footage. And it just so happened that the week that we ended up taking off, Mike's wife had a family member that was getting married in Alabama, which is where Thomas Campbell's from.
Nice.
And so Mike and I kind of mapped out how we were going to travel, where we were going to go. And along the way, Tom Campbell mentioned, oh, you know what, you should really stop and see a friend of mine in North Carolina. So we figured, oh, we're going to be on our way. And we ended up interviewing this wonderful woman, Donna, who has been a major supporter of ours and has been wonderful. And, you know, and then we called up the Monroe Institute. Hey, we're going to be coming down this week. We'd like to feature you in a documentary. Would you be willing to do this? This is the time. And they would say, oh, that date works perfect. You know, and then we would go there. And then we contacted William Buhlman and we said, same thing. We're taking this trip. We have 1 week to do this. This is the day that we'd be able to be, you know, able to drive through Michigan and film you. And it worked out perfectly. So we lined everybody up. There weren't any conflicts. And, you know, all of these people's schedules. And when you think about it, you know, how often is it that you can get five or six people together on a whim, and they're all going to be free in the time that you need them to be? I mean, that's practically impossible. And then at the same time, you know, Mike's wife is able to attend one of the family weddings down there in Alabama while we were interviewing Tom. So it worked out perfectly.
Yeah, that's cool when that happens. So the first one was all about the afterlife. And you're creating a series of four, and you're pretty much finished beyond the physical. You've got a trailer out, but like, have you already interviewed? Like, are you taking together the interviews that you've already done, or are you now re-interviewing some of these people and adding new material? And how's that working?
Yeah, when we went out to film all the interviews that you see in the afterlife. The average interview ran anywhere from 2 to 5 hours, and Tom, of course, being the exception, he ran about 9 hours
wow.
in length for his interview. And
because he talks slow.
But he's got a lot of information and content. When we would ask the questions were kind of scripted in a way where it would cover a piece of every film.
Nice.
So a lot of the people that you see in the next few films are the same people that were in the afterlife. There's a few that will step out and new ones will step in. We went down to Austin, Texas to film Tom doing a book signing. He had another radio interview down there. He was doing a lecture for INEX, I can't remember what...
It's the Institute for Neuroscience and Consciousness Studies.
Nice.
That's right. And Bob Price, he's the director of INEX, and we were able to interview him, and they study a great deal of about consciousness, similar to the Monroe Institute, but it's not... the Monroe Institute is more set up like a lab and retreat center where INACT is more of a research facility. And
nice.
I don't know if they've changed much in the past year and a half since we've been there. But he had a lot of great information about how his research and Tom's research, how they mix, and the similarities and differences that they've come across. And it was really nice to meet another person in another part of the country, with the same thoughts about consciousness and science and how it all fit together. So you'll be seeing him in the next film. And then the third film, a lot of the people also deal a lot with healing.
Okay.
So the third film's more about healing. And then the fourth film... is more a summary, a wrap-up, and just kind of tying in science with... combining the faith and science, and that's pretty much where we are with that.
Cool. So what will Beyond the Physical be about?
It's picking up where the first film left off.
Okay.
The first film, we discover that there is a another realm that you pretty much jump into, and I'm using Tom as an example. He classifies that as being in the non-physical. So here we are living in the physical, the three-dimensional reality, and we pass on. We go into this non-physical, a different rate of time. And it kind of deals more with what exactly that is. How does that non-physical reality interact with the current physical reality, and how we can communicate with people who are in the non-physical? And I'm losing.
You're absolutely right. And also, I think educating people more. Like William Buhlman will also be featured quite a bit in this film, as will the Monroe Institute and, some of the history of Bob Monroe. Because I think, you know, the first film we're talking about, okay, what happens when we die? Is there something that goes on? And then I think we're finding that there is actually something that goes on, but it's happening right now while we're alive as well. So I think some of the information that we're going to be able to provide people who have not yet experienced, say, out-of-body experiences or have learned about hemisync music and can see that they can travel to these other dimensions while they are in the physical, you know, I think that's part of the purpose, too, to educate people more about that and also show some of the research that has been done by the Monroe Institute and also, like Mike was saying, Robert Price, the director of the INACS, has a lot of great research that he did. He's a PhD in clinical psychology, and he was doing a lot of research in Texas in the sleep laboratory.
Oh.
So, you know, he's conducted a lot of research with the sleep and dream realm as well. So I feel like we have a lot that we can tie into Tom's theory, William Buhlmann, you know, and his out-of-body experiences, and then some of the research that Robert Price has done. I think it's going to be a great film, and I think it's going to take it to the next level, and I think it's going to also hopefully be able to give those who are familiar with some of these techniques some more history and background that maybe they haven't been aware of.
Yeah, I noticed in the trailer that you have some of Bob Monroe's footage, so, I mean, that's probably... you know, old footage because he's been passed now for quite a while, but to bring in, to tie this all together. But so are we talking about the different dimensions that we can go in? Are we also talking about what we can do in this life to bring us more into awareness of our own consciousness? Or is it mostly looking at the different dimensions that we can travel to understand how we fit into this reality?
Well, you know, I think it's a great question that I'm not sure either of us could quite answer yet because we're still in the phases of editing it and going through, you know, over the 70 hours of footage that we have right now. But I think it's going to tap into a little bit of all of that. And really, like what happened with The Path Afterlife, once we started on it, the film kind of had a mind of its own, and it almost felt as if certain clips and pieces of footage that we got were being picked for us, you know, and it all just came together so smoothly. So that's, I think, just another really great thing that happens in using this energy force that's around this film and tapping into it and seeing actually what it wants to tell, you know, people and the mass. So I don't think that we can quite say for sure exactly what it is yet, but it's starting to come together nicely.
Nice.
And a lot of the Bob Monroe footage, like you saw in the trailer, and there's actually, they're called the Explorer Files. You can find them on the MonroeInstitute.org, their website. And it's actually back from the 70s. I think they go into the early 80s. It's the actual recordings from the lab that Bob and Tom and a few of the other lab researchers going on these non-physical trips, talking to non-physical entities. We're also trying to work with Skip and Paul at the Monroe Institute and getting some of that, the sound bites as well as more footage of Bob Monroe into the second film. So, yeah, we're working on getting permission for all that. And in the meantime, I encourage your listeners to go listen to some of those sound clips because they're really, really interesting.
And so is the focus really to go out of body, or is it to, you know, heighten our consciousness here, and that's just one area that sort of attracts a lot of people?
It's not really the focus. Like, you know, we're not forcing people to go, you know, out of body or get a past life regression kind of thing. It's more, these are opportunities if you want to look more into either your life or how the world, you know, around us works. it's a good way to look into that and to see how it's a good way to see our past and maybe get a taste of the future with how we've lived our lives so far and where it needs improvement. And it's not, as Tom Campbell would say, it's not required, but it's fun and it's a good learning experience. And it does help, especially with me, with trying to achieve these out-of-body states in reducing fear. That played a big part into my own self-education, is just dropping the fear, and that'll also play a big part into the second film.
Right. And I think it, as Tom also says, it's an area of great interest to a lot of people. The paranormal is, you know, fascinating, and sometimes that's the only way we can get certain people to travel on this journey, to really start to explore. So there's nothing wrong with it. I think it's actually, you know, a great metaphor, a great way to start looking deeper into ourselves and to know that we are so much more than what we see on this physical body. And I think it's fascinating that you've joined up with somebody who, you know, has a sleep clinic and is looking at the sleeping aspects, because I think, you know, that's an area that we know we do for, you know, 8 to 10 hours or 6 to 10 hours of sleep every night, but we don't often, you know, really use that to our ability to grow and to heal. So it's just another aspect of allowing us to move forward. And then the past life stuff, I think, is also very fascinating, although some people get carried away and that's all they focus on. But I think it's fascinating that we can have that knowledge from, you know, the Akashic Records, so that we can understand where we've come from to help us, as long as everything is really here to assist us to, you know, grow in our own path. I think it all helps.
Yeah, also, as you begin to try these experiments, whether it's a meditation or listening to HemiSync, you do start to become more intuitive. You start seeing connections and synchronicities that you probably wouldn't have seen in the past. I found it very interesting. One example is, I don't know if you're familiar with the 1111 time prompt. That played a big part in the beginning when we first started coming together to produce the film. It just kind of started popping up all over, and it's still especially this past week has been almost driving me crazy. I see it everywhere. You'll see it on the microwave. Just regular computer clocks. I see it when I'm shooting video, the little time code counter in the camera viewfinder, I see it in there. It's just all over.
And that was also, too, part of the inspiration behind, you know, calling our production company Path 11 Productions, because, you know, 11 had such a significance, one, in Mike's life, and then it started to take a life of its own in our project as well. And, you know, we would laugh about it. And one day when we were doing some editing, I just decided to take a look on MapQuest and say, how many miles do Mike and I live apart from each other? And it would be 11, you know. And a lady who we interviewed in the film, Brenda Jenks, does some numerology, and she did Mike's at the first time that we met her at the meeting, and his number was 11, you know, which is, I guess, a master number and stuff like that. So it just, it really kept popping up and still pops up, and it always seems like when Mike and I get together to do work on the film, or say we have an upcoming radio show, for me too, it's really popped up a lot this week as well. So I think it's just validation of the universe kind of saying, you're on the right track, keep going. You know, so that's been pretty significant for us.
Yeah, Well, 1111 is supposed to be Christ consciousness, and as we move towards that in the 2012, whether that's really what's going on or whether we're just, you know, all evolving as a spirit. I mean, I do think that there's some validity in everything that happens. There are synchronicities, and you know, there are no coincidences. So we connect in with whatever it is that, you know, creates that connection. So the third one will be about healing. Tell me about that.
Well, like Mike said, we have you know, a lot of people on our cast that either have practiced it on themselves or on others. We have a couple of MDs who are using it in their practice for holistic medicine. An RN, Jeanette Defoe, who uses hands-on healing and Reiki with her nursing, in her nursing practice as well. She actually is currently working at a pain management clinic and was working with a doctor, educated him about Reiki, and initiated him to be a Reiki practitioner and brought her into a pain management clinic so she could administer it.
Wow.
And really, I think just, I would like to see this film take form to really start educating the general public about different healing modalities that people can turn to aside from just your traditional doctor and getting on medication for high blood pressure, maybe taking a look at meditation or acupuncture, massage therapy, things of that sort that people can start to consider rather than maybe just putting chemicals in their body and trying to make a quick fix. Rather than maybe taking more of a holistic approach and looking at themselves and saying, okay, what could possibly be going on? What might I be attracting to myself? What is my energy and my emotional state like that maybe could be manifesting into a physical illness? So that's my goal for the Healing DVD. And again, probably to educate more of the critical mass about all of the different types of holistic healing modalities that there are. And it seems like, I don't know, each month there's a new one that I'm hearing about as well. So it'll probably be a little bit difficult to narrow it down, but I think we'll probably take some of the more popular ones that people are trusting and that is becoming a little more valid in today's society and gaining credibility and highlight some of those.
Right. Well, I do think that in the medical profession, you know, they're looking always at, you know, masking or healing the effects, and they're not looking at the cause. And so a holistic approach obviously looks at finding what the cause is so that the effects can change.
Correct.
Yeah, and I think that's really, you know, the goal of any practitioner and any, you know, whether it's a hands-on healing or whether it's mental or whether, you know, there are so many different modalities out there. I mean, so many different modalities. So yeah, there would be a challenge to try and find. I guess it's really, you know, what resonates most with you and what, you know, what you connect with. Well, that should be an interesting one. And then the third one is really, or the fourth one is really just, is what it's going to, yeah, I guess you don't know at this point, do you?
No, and, you know, there might be other people that, you know, to our path that, you know, we still have time. We could meet people and interview some new up-and-coming, I don't know, say scientists that have some more information that would like to be filmed about consciousness and, you know, looking to just try to gather more data for that fourth film. You know, I think we have a lot of footage from Tom that will be great for the fourth film, but I think that it would also be good if we can find a couple of other people who are willing to step out and start speaking about it, who do have some credibility and some science background to talk more about that. So, yeah, that's pretty far away for us.
But, yeah. And is that what it's going to be about, more about consciousness?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, it's a big topic. Do you think you're going to be, when do you foresee everything coming into, like, are you both still in a full-time job?
I have my own production company.
Right.
That's probably about two full-time jobs at the moment. So we're working on the second film, and we're kind of just doing that in our spare time at the moment until some of the mandatory work that we're trying to get through right now with deadlines and contracts with other clients. Once that starts dying down, we'll be able to put more time into it, which should be in the next month or so. And then once that is finished, we hope to have it released, at least available for sale by summertime, probably looking at June, going into July. And then the third film, we haven't really talked about our schedule. After we've produced the first film, we kind of want to take some time and, you know, just relax a little bit because we spent a whole year and a half shooting and editing. And we just got the film out. We did some promotion for it. And we want to set up some screenings and premieres throughout the country. But we've done that, and now we're starting the second film. So I don't know how soon after we're going to start the third film. Originally, we were talking, you know, maybe this time next year, the third film would come out, and then nice. The fourth film would come out probably by the new year going into, where are we? Was that 2012 already? Yeah. 2011. So, yeah, we really haven't worked out the schedule yet for the next two films, but they'll probably be done closer in time than we are between the first and second film.
That's good. I mean, it may become something that will help a lot of people if you can get it out, you know, in the new year of 2012 or, you know, any time before December of 2012 when people are sort of, you know, there seems to be quite a mixture of people talking about, you know, the fears that are out there or the, you know, the evolution of consciousness. And I think, you know, since the fourth one is about consciousness, it might be a good idea so that people will have something that they can, you know, see, feel, touch, and become more acquainted with so that as that time reaches, it doesn't become such a fearful state.
Right. And we also, going into this, we kind of left an area open about 2012. We've never actually said this publicly, but we've had a few of our interviews talk about 2012, and there may be an opportunity where we'll put that into the fourth film if we feel it's necessary.
Right.
But at the same time, we're not really sure ourselves what's going to happen in 2012.
Right.
Obviously, you can turn on the news. In the past month, you can see all the Earth changes taking effect. Of course, the solar flares that were due for the biggest one in recorded history in 2012. So there's all these possible synchronicities leading up to 2012. But I think, at least for me personally, I would say that I think 2012 is probably going to be something more of a consciousness evolution. It's not, maybe we're not going to grow up, all of a sudden wake up in the morning and we all have wings and or what, but I think it's going to be more of we're just all going to kind of know that there is this other reality out there, this other dimension. And I think it's just like the veil that a lot of people talk about. I think that will just be lowered, and it's just going to be more of a knowing than a physical change.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that there are, you know, obviously there's going to be physical changes because, as you say, there's, you know, large solar flares that are happening from the sun, and certainly the, you know, past few super moons that we've had have created some impact on the planet. And so, I mean, obviously things are going to be changing, but I do agree with you that, you know, the doom and gloom that everybody's saying is, you know, just a way again to control and manipulate through fear. And the greater thing is where our consciousness will be moving to.
And I also want to make a footnote here that by no means am I an expert in 2012. It's just you know, reading clippings from other experts that have studied it. So I don't want anybody to take my quotes or my words, but I do think that, you know, that there is a lot of fear involved in it, especially if you've seen the movie that just came out, where it just showed destruction pretty much nonstop. And I think, you know, we might see some of that. I don't think it's going to be completely like that, and I don't think there's going to be a huge amount of casualties. But I do think that in a way for us to have the veil lowered, we will need to see all that death and destruction to realize that, you know, this reality, this that we're living in is not really such a big deal. And that's probably going to be very hard for a lot of people to swallow, but I think that's a possibility.
To see the bigger picture, to understand from a deeper consciousness, I guess, a more awareness, yeah. And I mean, that's just, I think that's the part of where evolution is. I mean, it, you know, sometimes there are people that aren't ready. Sometimes there are people that chose to do it to assist. And I mean, when you look at World War II, it, you know, how it evolved in our consciousness by bringing people together that never were together before, and, you know, all fighting for the same, you know, cause. And it, I mean, in every place where there is destruction or pain, there's always a great opportunity to heal.
Yeah, I would also say, if you look back, it's been just over 10 years now, September 11th, you know, the initial impact was shocking and very, we're all grief-stricken. I mean, we're only about 90 minutes north of the city. And, you know, I actually worked with people who had relatives in the buildings that collapsed, and I could see it in people around me that, you know, this was tragic and everything. But at the same time, and you probably heard a lot of this on some of the news reports, that the way that people came together and just helped each other out was amazing. And it actually, shortly after that happened, it was like, actually was glad to be part of the human race again. You know, that, you know, you have I don't know how many terrorists were involved, was it 9 or 10, but you have, you know, 10 crazy people trying to create a trying to fulfill their religious trying to make a religious statement, and then at the same time the rest of the world is coming together, and, you know, we're just helping each other out. And we had, I'm in Kingston, and we had a lot of volunteer work come through, and we were making donations. A lot of my friends were going down to the city to help people, and it was just amazing the way everybody seemed to come together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think in New York, I don't know how other people felt in other states, but you really did felt that connectedness. Even when you were in, like, a grocery store, it just seemed like people were looking at each other differently. And I also think, you know, Haiti is also a very good example, too, of how, you know, now when there's tragedy, it does seem like people are dropping their egos, you know, opening up their hearts and realizing that there's a bigger picture here, and are trying to come together for the greater cause. So although they are pretty tragic things, I think that there's a lot of healing that happens in that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm always for, you know, the part of me is always there, you know, they chose to experience that to assist us to raise our level of consciousness. And whether I'm sure they didn't choose it consciously in this life, but they did. They had to have been aware, because we can't be victims, that, you know, this was a possibility to happen, that would be, you know, the outcome for what they were choosing to move through.
Mm-hmm.
And also another item that reminds me that I got remembered from 9/11 was the amount of intuition that that a lot of people were talking about. I don't know if you've heard of any of this from where you are, but those buildings in especially New York City were supposed to be pretty much at capacity at those hours that when they were hit, and just certain, either it was a synchronicity or somebody got the idea, oh, I should call in sick today. It was amazing that as little casualties as they were compared to what normally should have been expected at those hours.
Yeah.
I thought that was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's which makes you believe that, you know, certain people were meant to have this experience and others weren't. And that, yes, right. If you followed your intuition and you were part of that in the flow, or then, you know, you had a different outcome. And I think that's really what all of this helps teach us is, you know, whether 2012, whatever happens, whatever we're going to be going through, whatever changes will occur, that if you're kept open and don't let fear, you choose love over fear or love over ego, that you will be in the flow, that you will know what to do and where to be, and that it'll all come together as it's supposed to. So what do you think, you talked about, you know, some of the people that were touched by your first film. What do you hope to achieve? What is your ultimate goal? I mean, it's very humanistic in that, you know, it's not based on ego, it's not based on greed, it's, you know, you're really doing this, this isn't even your full-time job, this is something that's obviously your passion. So what do you hope to achieve?
I would say I would want to get this film into as many hands as possible, because I think that if I had the ability to watch this film, or at least the equivalent of what we're trying to at least produce in the film, if I had that information maybe 15, 20 years earlier, I would be thinking how much easier my life probably would have been, instead of struggling to keep what was unnecessary in my life. I don't know if I've explained that correctly, but it's kind of, we fight so hard to hang on to something that doesn't work because we don't want to face the fear of trying something new. Mm. I don't know if I'm explaining
it.
Yeah,
no, that's perfect.
Okay. I kind of ramble on, but that's kind of what I wanted to get out. And I see, you know, through history, there's been kind of like a few voices that aren't completely false, but at the same time, it doesn't, what they're saying, it doesn't apply to everybody.
Right.
And I think this would be a good way for people to experiment with whether a meditation or a hemi-sync or the astral projection. And I think, and I meant to say this earlier, that once you not only get the intuition going, but you start the ability to think for yourself. You start seeing how things apply to you and how they might not necessarily apply to other people. So I think that's a good way in getting people to pretty much think for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Discernment. Discernment. You know, figure out what's right for them. Figure out what works for them. Versus all the other things that are out there that could help or might not. I mean, I think we're all so individualistic that, you know, what works for one person is not necessarily going to work for another person. But yet there are ways of, you know, finding your path to where you need to go. And April, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with Mike. And, you know, I'm really hoping that it can bring healing to people and get people talking about this more openly. And, you know, as Tom Campbell would say, we're here to evolve. So I'm hoping that our films, as we're evolving, learning about all of this stuff, that it will have that impact on other humans. And that's what I'm hoping as well.
Right. What do you think is the greatest gift it's given you?
So many. I think the gift has been just personal growth.
Okay.
That's probably why that's what I'm hoping for others. I think I'm a totally different person. And thanks to Mike, in some ways, I feel very fortunate that I was on that path for him, choose me to help facilitate this, because looking back, I'm a totally different person. And I know that I still have so much more to learn, but I'm so much happier with where I am in that whole evolution of consciousness and really taking a look at myself through doing this film.
Right. And April, do you have like a full-time job other than the healing aspect, or is that your job?
No, I have my private practice as well, which is, twofold. I do have some of the psychotherapy and traditional counseling and then the holistic work. And I've kind of branched my private practice out to do some teaching and workshops at a local community college. And also nice. With my license, I'm able to do some consulting work for other agencies working with children with disabilities. So I kind of have some part-time jobs mixed in with my private practice and then, of course, the path as well. So.
Nice.
I have a little bit of a mixture of things that I'm doing right now.
Nice. And Mike, what do you think is the greatest gift that you've received?
I would have to agree with April. It's got to be the personal growth. Seeing where I was a couple years ago to where I am now, I don't think I could have gotten to where I am now without knowing what I knew or what I researched it, and it's just been amazing. And I someday, maybe 20 years down the road, maybe make another movie about the making of this film, this film series. Between the synchronicities and understanding how everything works, it's just been amazing. And I'd like to eventually pass that on to other people as much as possible.
Yeah, I think that should be part of your fourth show, but yeah.
And make a great book, I tell you.
Well, there you
go.
Okay, well, tell people how they can get a hold of both of you.
Sure. Anyone can visit our website at thepathseries.com. We do have the trailer up there now on The Path Beyond the Physical, which is the second DVD that will be coming out in June. We also have some video clips of our cast members on the website as well to kind of give the audience a little bit more to watch while we're making the second film. And obviously, The Path Afterlife is available for sale on our website as well. And they can purchase that both if they're in the States or out of the States. We do offer it in a PAL format, and it's also sold on Amazon. And Mike, where can they go again to download it on their computer?
Amazon offers a rental and a purchase option to download to your, if you have a TiVo or a Roku box or your computer. We're also available on filmbaby.com, where you can purchase a DVD as well as download the film. The film on Film Baby is a little less restricted, and you could probably get that onto your iPod or iPhone or equivalent type of device.
Cool. And both of your individual websites?
Yeah, mine is hannahshealing.com, H-A-N-N-A-H-S, healing.com.
And mine is habernickproductions.com.
Great. Well, it's been a great pleasure. I hope to be able to see you guys again, and I'm definitely looking forward to the next movie as well as the future two more. And I think, you're doing great work. You're getting the message out of where you're wanting to go. And I mean, that's where it has to start, right? It has to start with what we want within ourselves, and then it moves towards, helping humanity to to be able to get where you are, which is what you're doing. And I think that that's great. So, you know, kudos to you guys for, you know, putting this together, because it's a huge project.
Well, thank you for doing the work that you do too, because you're helping us getting the word out, and we really appreciate it. And it's so nice to actually have met you in person, and we know exactly who we're talking to, so that's nice too.
That always helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, when you guys get ready to put out your next one, maybe we'll do another interview. But yeah, it's been great, and I'm pleased to have had you on the show.
Well, thank you for having us.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.